This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
If you ever visit Hampton Court, as I did some years ago now, you'll see the largest grapevine in the world, planted in 1768 by Capability Brown. It's known as the Great Vine, which was planted in the reign of George III. A cutting was planted outside a glasshouse, and its branches were trained inside it. By the 1790s, the vine was thriving so much and growing to such an enormous size that the glasshouse had to be enlarged to house it. It still produces a phenomenal amount of fruit every year, following its annual pruning and cleaning, and it takes the vine keeper around 3 weeks to gather in all the grapes. From such small beginnings, what an abundance of fruit has been produced over the years. And despite this vine's grand age of 253 years, it shows no sign of decline, and its grapes can still be purchased in the Hampton Court shop every year. All this from one small cutting. Amazing. Our gospel reading today is all about a vine. Let's listen to a hymn first before we hear it. Here is "You Are the Vine." That hymn, "You Are the Vine," came to us from Divine Hymns. Now let's listen to Jesus making a startling claim in our gospel reading from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Here's another song with a link to this gospel reading from my album Called to Serve, and it's called "I Am the Vine."
I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me, with me in him, bears fruit in plenty. Cut off from me, like a branch thrown away, he withers. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love. Remain in me, ask what you will, and it will be given. You shall bear fruit and be my disciples. I have told you this, that your joy be complete.
When my husband and I visited the Holy Land some years ago, I must admit to being a little frustrated with our Jewish guide, who seemed far more interested in ancient carvings of a vine in and around the area, rather than tell us about the actual places where Jesus taught and performed miracles of healing. To her credit, she was excited to see this great symbol of her history, carved everywhere in stone. This was a symbol which emerged when God promised Abraham that he would make of him a great nation, and his descendants after him would grow and multiply, rather like a tree of life, and he would bless the world through them. Psalm 80 and Isaiah 5 likened his descendants to a vine. But throughout the history, many of the people of Israel, God's vine, repeatedly turned away from him. Many of them did not always bear the fruit that God demanded of them. But their prophets did speak of one of their number who in the future would usher in a world of peace and promise and justice, a Messiah king. The Jews always believed that God was faithful and would never forget this promise he made to them. Christians believe it did come true in one of their own, the person of Jesus, who was himself a Jew, a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Judah, Jesse, David. His genealogy testifies to this, and they believe it was through him that God would indeed bless the world. Here's a beautiful hymn all about faithfulness by Chris Rice, and it's called "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Many Christians are very familiar with today's reading. But way back then, Jesus' words, "I am the true vine," would have come as a real shock to his disciples. No individual had ever made such a claim as this before about themselves. If a person were to make such a statement, it would have been thought of as blasphemy. Jesus was claiming here to be the real deal, not like some ancient, unproductive vine, but a long-lasting, fresh and fruitful one. He would be faithful and loyal and true to God, the real thing. Just like that Coke advert which used to tell us the same thing in the 70s, for those of you who are old enough to remember that. Come to think of it, that advert came with a song sung by the New Seekers with a memorable line, "I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony," which really is what Jesus had come into the world to do. To bring harmony, love, peace and understanding. Shall we take a trip back to the 70s and listen to that old recording?
Oh, apple trees and honey bees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing with me.
Let the world sing today. Oh, yeah.
seems to me that Jesus was either teaching his disciples that here was a brand new vine which would be vibrant and life-giving, or he was claiming to have been that very vine from ancient times, the true vine, the one and only, and through his coming death, this would be the ultimate pruning, so that new life would flow through its pruned branches to produce real sustenance for the world. In this next song, let's all pray to become channels of God's divine peace and love flowing out to the world. It's taken from a personal prayer attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. It's sung by Daniel O'Donnell, and it's "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace."
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Come soul as to come soul. To be understood as to understand. To be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. Giving to all men that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life.
Branches of a vine have to be cut back and cleansed in order for it to remain healthy and to bear even more fruit. Everything which hinders the growth of the branch has to be removed. A tendril's wrong attachment here, some alien growth there, or a shoot removed to make room for a stronger one to flourish. In a similar way, Jesus was telling his followers to expect to be pruned too. If they were too proud or on the wrong track, or if certain doors needed to be closed and they needed to be redirected in mission, or if they were disobedient, because the healthier the vine, the more prolific and mature the fruit would be. In Revelation 3:19, we read God's warning, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline." So as long as we remain part of the vine, we'll come through stronger. When we're under great pressure, or we face storms, or when darkness closes in, and boy, have we faced some strains and stresses in our world this last year, God will be with us. Here's an uplifting song called "You'll Never Walk Alone" from the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical Carousel. And it's sung here by a Norwegian soprano with an incredible voice. Her name is Sissel Sirsebø.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head. And don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a goal. Sweet.
Let's remember that we're not responsible for producing fruit. Our role is to bear it. The onus is on the vine and its life-giving sap to provide the fruit, not us. But how will we know if the fruit we bear is what God expects to find? This next song from my album, Pearls of Great Price, is based on words from Matthew 7, where Jesus says, "Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." The song's called The Parable of the Tree and Its Fruit.
Beware of false prophets like sheep, they're disguised. Beneath they are wolves, so open your eyes. By their fruits ye shall know them as each new day dawns. Figs don't grow on thistles, nor grapes on their thorns. A sound tree gives good fruit, a poor one what's bad? Bad trees can't bear good fruit, now isn't that sad? By their fruits ye shall know them as each new day dawns. Figs don't grow on thistles, nor grapes on the thorns. Each tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and destined for fire right there on the ground. So come heed this warning in case you're inspired to do what is evil and wrong in God's eyes.
A television repairman told us once that he was called to a house where the family had a problem getting a picture on their television. So the first thing he did when he entered the room was to look and see if the power source was connected, and he noticed immediately that the plug was actually lying on the carpet. Needless to say that the situation was soon remedied. The Holy Spirit was soon to provide that power to Jesus' followers at the Feast of Pentecost, following the return of Jesus to his Father. With the Spirit of Jesus himself in them, they would carry on Jesus' work in the world. We'll be hearing about Pentecost in a few weeks' time. And this explains Jesus saying, "If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So if we too want to be more effective in sharing our faith, making a real difference in the world, as Christians, we must remain connected to the vine, to Jesus himself, through faith, prayer, Bible reading, and through obedience. Only then will we find out what God can do through very ordinary people like ourselves. In Christ Alone is our final song today, with words written by Stuart Townend and sung here by Adrienne Leishing. It's time to say goodbye now. So from Andrew Ridgwick, my technician, and myself, it's goodbye from us, and we do hope and pray you'll have a good week. Bye for now.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest droughts and storm. What high